What's up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. I'm a radio host at KHTK 1140, the Kings flagship station here in Sacramento. I also work on every single Kings broadcast. We got another good one for you today. I'm going to go over the first round of the playoffs. I want to look at the teams that were eliminated and some of their pending free agency, if they might fit well in a Sacramento Kings jersey. And some other little storylines, too. All that coming up next here on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. And we're going to start today with a little playoff review, first round review. Might as well start with the Blazers, who got swept by the Pelicans. I know it was a surprise to me. I think it was a surprise to many others, but I think mostly it was a great matchup for the Pelicans, taking on a team that was pretty limited in the front court and has, you know, an explosive, dynamic backcourt, but they are also small. And neither Damian Lillard or C.J. McCollum are particularly great defenders, which did not go well with Rajon Rondo and Drew Holiday, obviously, who are pretty damn good defenders. And Portland just ran a ton of pick and roll that New Orleans was able to trap, and they don't have great roll men, you know, diving to the hoop, Nurkic, Ed Davis, you know, aren't great options, really. And so, New Orleans was able to sweep them, which was a huge surprise. Not just that they won, but they swept them. Besides only one game, you know, one game was a blowout. The other three were relatively close. So it wasn't, you know, the sweep might be a little misleading, but, you know, Portland couldn't win a single game. And now they are in early start to their offseason, gone fishing, as they say, as Chuck and Shaq say. One of the most interesting things about this first round, and I mean all the way through the playoffs, is a lot of these teams that are getting eliminated are at a crossroads in their franchise to where they're going to have to make some decisions, and I think Portland is one of them. They're going to have to look at their team and look at their backcourt and decide whether this is going to continue to work or not. Are they happy just making the playoffs and, you know, getting eliminated in the first round, or are they going to look to make changes that might raise their ceiling? I don't know what those changes could be. One thing you'll notice with a lot of these teams is one common theme they all have is really bad contracts. I mean, if you look at Evan Turner, Myers Leonard, Mo Harkless is fine, but that's still money on someone who's, you know, average. Yusuf Nurkic is about to be a restricted free agent. I wouldn't give him big money. I wouldn't give him multiple years even. I'd give him the qualifying offer and let him play for that. But we'll see. We'll see what they do. If I'm the Kings, I would stay away from Nurkic personally. As I've said before, you know, I would prefer the Kings play an up-tempo pace. Nurkic cannot play that pace. And you already have Willie Cauley-Stein, Kosta Koufos. Harry Giles will probably play some five. So I would stay away from Nurkic. If you're going to pay anyone, if you're going to pay any center to keep around, I'd just keep Willie around because I don't think Nurkic is better. One of the interesting things that, and this is just all speculation, this is nothing but me, you know, fantasy GM. If the Trailblazers are looking to make a change, I would call and see, you know, hey, what's it going to take to move one of those backcourt pieces? And I would imagine it would be CJ over Dame that they'd be looking to move. I would definitely do my due diligence if I was Sacramento. You know, the tough part is, most likely, the piece you'd have to part with would be Bogey, which, you know, as I've mentioned before, no one's untradeable. I think Matt George has said it too. No one's untradeable. but Bogey would be the one I'd try and hang on to the most. But the other problem is, you know, if you try and trade De'Aaron Fox for C.J. McCollum, you're Portland, at least in Portland's eyes, they'd have the same problem, an undersized backcourt. And Bogey is the one, you know, he's 6'6", shooting guard that you could bring in and play him opposite of Dame. So that's where I'm at. You know, who knows, maybe a draft pick gets it done, but doubtful. You would have to give up some pieces to get CJ, but I would definitely do my due diligence, see what it would take, give it a shot. Moving on to the next team eliminated, the Milwaukee Bucks, and another surprise. Not that they're great, not that, you know, Joe Prunty has a track record of being great with with the game plan in the system, because they don't really run a system. The system is Giannis, do stuff to win, please, and that's about it. But what's surprising is the fact that they lost to Boston, who is missing half their team. Missing Kyrie, missing Gordon Hayward. And they still have Al Horford, who we underrate. I mean, the guy's still a stud. And he was able to play well. Same with Terry Rozier. We kind of see why Boston fans did not want to get rid of Terry Rozier at all over the last couple years. Not that they were right about some of the things. I mean, Terry's nice, but if it came down to, you know, you had to throw in Terry Rozier to get Kyrie, you go get Kyrie. So Boston ends up winning that. Milwaukee is gone. They're out of the playoffs. They are also at a crossroads somewhat. Not so much in that they have to, you know, move on from one of their stars or anything, but the fact that they have to go find themselves a coach that fits. I think Mike Budenholzer would be a nice fit there. You know, culture changer, as they say. And he would bring in a system that would benefit Giannis and the team. As we know, he's a, you know, from the Popovich coaching tree and all that. One of the free agents from Milwaukee that I've mentioned before, and he's on the list, but he's third on my list of restricted free agents, is Jabari Parker. And Jabari Parker is solid. He's a guy who can get you buckets, great athletically. His injury history really scares me, especially if you would have to end up paying him big money. I would not want to pay Jabari Parker big money just because of his injury history. And also because defensively he's not great. He doesn't like to rebound. I mean, if you get him, that's good, but it depends what the money is and for how long. I mentioned bad contracts. Milwaukee's got a couple of them. Matthew Dellavedova, John Henson. Tony Snell's okay, I guess. But yeah, they've got some bad money there that they need to clean up for sure. But I don't know if they can. So Jabari Parker's there. If somehow you can get Chris Middleton, I don't think you can, though. Chris Middleton's locked in as, you know, they're starting three, and he's a solid player. But he would be a great, great upgrade at the three for the Kings. But, again, I don't see how you could do it with the Bucks. I don't think the Kings have anything the Bucks would want to get a guy like Chris Middleton. So that is the Bucks. This is Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Going to look at a few other teams, a few other options for the Kings coming up, so stick around. Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton, going over some of the playoff teams that were eliminated and some of their pending free agents and whether they would fit in Sacramento or not. Let's move on to the Washington Wizards. I'll tell you what, they may be losing in the first round, but they are a championship trash-talking team. This team talks more trash than anyone in the NBA and backs it up less than anybody in the NBA. I used to like them. I used to have high hopes for them. I don't trust them. I don't like their attitude. I mean, they talk all this game and never back it up. I mean, with their whole Death Row DC, Death Row East Coast, whatever the hell they call it. And then you go lose in the first round. They lost to Toronto, and to me, Washington, the Wizards are the new Toronto, just mentally weak and, you know, underperforming in the playoffs. They clearly have their problems. They don't get along. John Wall, Marcin Gortat. And as we saw when John Wall was out, the Wizards played pretty well. I'm not with the whole, you know, that they were so much better without John Wall. It's tough to be better without a good player, but John Wall has his flaws as well. I don't know. I don't like them. I think they played poorly. They're not very good. And they lost Toronto. I mean, if we kill Toronto for their flaws, Washington has those same flaws. And they're another team at a crossroads. What do you do? What can you do to get yourselves over the hump and make yourselves better? I do think when John Wall was out, they did play a better style of basketball, sharing the ball. You know, everyone eats, as they said. But as far as, how do you incorporate John Wall into that and maybe bring in a system somehow? And that's a theme you're going to hear a lot from me, is a system. And a lot of teams don't run a system, which is really weird to me. It's really weird. I mean, because, like, the systems that teams do run, no one's reinventing the wheel. It's just basic stuff, basic off-ball cutting. Not just running pick and roll or, you know, running four out or anything like that. So I don't know. Washington is weird to me. They don't really have any free agents that are worth looking at, worth the Kings' time. But if they do decide to make a drastic move because of the dysfunction there, Kings should give them a call. See what they can do. See if they can work something out. Hey, is Otto Porter? What's up with Otto Porter? You guys paid him a lot of money. We can do that. We made an offer sheet to him last year that you guys had to match. He'd be overpaid. He is overpaid, but he would solve that small forward spot for the Kings immediately. John Wall, maybe. You know, hey, what's up with John Wall? De'Aaron Fox and then maybe a pick. Send John Wall our way. That would upgrade the team immediately. Not that any of these are going to happen, but I would definitely look into it because I think they're going to have to do something about this team. And they have three massive contracts. John Wall, Otto Porter, and Bradley Beal. And maybe they're fine with that. But it's tough to pay the luxury tax in the NBA for these owners, especially when you're paying the luxury tax to lose in the first round. So I would definitely get on the phone if I'm the King. See what's going on. See what's good over there. But if that, who knows if anything would come of that and if they'll actually do it. But it's definitely worth checking out, worth doing your due diligence, as I've been saying. Moving on to the next team eliminated, Miami Heat. They are fun, play hard, all that good stuff, but, you know, they only had so much they could do. They only have so much talent. But they do have solid talent. And one thing I will say is I like how they have worked their their free agency, how they've worked their books, their contracts, whatever. You know, they have like four or five guys making $12 million a year. And they're all solid to above average role players, like James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, Dion Waiters, who was hurt. The only bad contract they have is Hassan Whiteside, and it looks terrible, honestly. It really looks bad. I don't know how they're going to get out from under that. I don't think they will, actually. I just don't know. I think Spoelstra's an incredible coach. And, they just lost to the better team, Philly. Which, by the way, can we all just chill out a little bit? Stop with the overreactions after a team wins, you know, not just a playoff game. Maybe even the first round. Let's just relax. Philly's good, but I don't need to hear about how Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are the next two greatest basketball players in the NBA. They're really good, but let's mellow out, okay? Let's calm down. They don't really have anyone worth looking at, but if I was the Kings, I'd also give them a call and see if they're looking to move any of these smaller pieces. I doubt it, because they've found good role players and it seems to work for them. But I might, you know, see what's going on. Explore the space. Indiana knocked out by Cleveland in 7 games. Indy's a great story. They don't really have anyone coming up, free agents, that I would really look at. You know, if they, for some reason, want to move Miles Turner, maybe. But that's not, they don't want to do that. I don't think they really have anyone. Maybe bring in their Bogdanovich, just because it'd be funny to have both of them. But, no, they don't really have anyone. Tough series. You lose to LeBron. It happens. This is Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Come on back. Got a few more teams to go over and a few more options for the Kings. Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just going over the first round of the playoffs and some of the options the Kings have moving forward. As we have talked about, a lot of these teams are at a crossroads in their franchise's history, and one that's at a major crossroads is Oklahoma City. And they lose to Utah in 6 games. Utah was clearly the better team. They might not have had the better top talent, but Utah's the better team, and it showed. Utah beats OKC in 6 games, man. That was yikes. Hashtag Brody, right? OKC, the thing is, they don't really have any free agents coming up, and that's one of their problems, is whether Paul George re-signs there or not, they're going to be over the luxury tax. And again, like I said, it's tough to be paying the luxury tax when your team is getting eliminated in the first round. And that's what's happened to OKC 2 years in a row now. And Carmelo Anthony is going to make $28 million next year. You're screwed. I mean, that's about it. They don't really have anyone I would look to trade for if I'm the Kings. They just don't. Yeah, OKC, I don't know what they're going to do. It's actually one of the most interesting storylines this offseason. But we'll see. I don't think they have much of anything, honestly. So, I don't know what to tell you. Minnesota loses to Houston in 5 games. I think we all saw that coming. Minnesota, it's weird with Minnesota because they should be happy. This was their first year making the playoffs, and, you know, however long, it was their best record, best season without Kevin Garnett. But they still, I don't know. I just don't know about Tom Thibodeau and the style of ball he plays and the way he wears out his players. So I don't love it. They're not going to make any changes yet, but I don't know. I'm not the biggest Tom Thibodeau guy, especially when it comes to a bunch of young talent. And they brought in all Thibodeau guys, Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson, Derrick Rose. And, you know, you lose in the first round. But you were also playing the team with the best record in the league. It happens. Last but not least, the San Antonio Spurs. San Antonio. Probably the least talented team in the playoffs, I'd say. Maybe second least talented. So, lose 5 games to the Warriors. I think we all saw it coming. I don't know what the deal is with Kawhi. There was a report out that he's looking to, you know, get traded. I don't know. If San Antonio does offer him the massive $219 million contract, he's going to take it, obviously. And, you know, maybe everything's fine after that. But if they do look to trade him, I would give him a call if I'm Sacramento, obviously. But I don't know if he wants to be in Sacramento, honestly. I mean, the rumors are he wants to go to L.A. or, you know. Of course, that's always the rumor. Everyone wants to go to L.A. So we'll see. Danny Green's a free agent. He's someone I might look into if I was the Kings. I know he's older. The three-point percentage has gone down a little bit. But he's a guy that can come in and play defense for you. And still knock down some threes. I think he'll go to a different spot, though, honestly. And I also think it'd be better for the Kings to find someone younger. But, you know, if you want culture and if you want the veterans and stuff like that, like they've done the last couple of years, he would be an option. But, yeah, I'd probably look somewhere else. So that's been a quick first round playoff review. Sorry that this is coming out late. We had technical difficulties last night, so you're actually going to get doubled up on today. I hope you enjoy these podcasts. I'm actually gone the rest of the week, so you are going to have Matt George filling in. And I will talk to you guys soon. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network.